The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, as we wrapped up the week of trade on Friday, we found the wheat markets got some support while gold continued to soar higher as well. Everything else was relatively mixed on the session. We're going to talk about that today here on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us on the program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you with us here. We got a lot of information coming your way here on the program today. As again, we wrapped up the week on Friday with some decent strength in the wheat markets, which kind of led the grains overall, while quarter beans had mostly mixed trade action to end the week. And it's kind of been an ugly week in quartered soybean trade, for that matter, here since the first of the month. Now, on the flip side, the livestock trade, well, here we go again. It was mixed until late in the session Friday, and we had a sharp drop in cattle once again, while the hog market was the reverse of that and traded with strength, with summer months getting up near that 110 level. And we're going to talk about all of this and more coming up today on the show. Tommy Grisafi with Advanced Trading and ATI Pro Media is going to join us in segment three and share his perspective as we wrap up the week of trade. And again, a lot to talk about, ranging from the outside markets to the avian flu in cattle and the volatility in the cattle trade as well. So I'm looking forward to the discussion with Tommy coming up here in just a little bit. Also, before that, coming up in segment two, I had a real great conversation about these livestock markets in general, the volatility here, on Wednesday's episode of Agriculture of America, AOA, with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. And we're going to listen to that conversation again here on the show today, as it was really good. We looked at cattle, hogs, some feed needs and concerns and considerations. And even though the market again fell apart on cattle here on Friday, it's still a lot of timely information. So we're going to listen to that conversation coming up here in segment two of today's Market Talk. First up, though, let's get some market analysis from Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. We start with the grains and the rally in the wheat trade on Friday's session.
Yeah, we're really seeing the strength of it being led by Chicago. We're starting to see some chart signals turn there, and that's encouraging some more short covering as we've taken the lead May contract now through the 50-day moving average. It's trading right about that level now. We'll see how that holds up. Rallies in the past have been opportunities to sell. This one's taken us to the highest level for that May contract that we've seen since the 1st of March, so we're gaining some territory there. A lot of it tied to Russia and really the escalation of geopolitical risks in the Black Sea region right now. We're seeing some pullback or erosion of the export capacity of Ukraine as Russia strikes at Ukraine export facilities. But we're also seeing Russia start to create problems for some of the remaining private exporters, major exporters, and just delaying releasing phytosanitary certifications necessary for them to export, tightening things up. And that's creating some uncertainty about the future of the wheat supply, because outside of the Black Sea, the supply is rather tight for milling quality supplies among our major exporters. It's been the Black Sea where the supply has been abundant, and that's been driving prices down. You start tightening up that supply, and suddenly it's a different story. Funds covering their short positions.
Yeah, it feels like outside of these geopolitical tensions and a few notes on Wall Street and more that we'll get to in a second, there's really not a lot bullish about this grain and oilseed market, at least looking at the fundamentals right now, Arlen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, the farmer is still undersold, especially in Brazil. Looking at the data this morning showing that the farmer has sold about 20 to 25% less of his corn and soybean crops than he's normally sold at this date point in time on the calendar. That means as rallies come, the farmer's looking for opportunities to sell. That makes rallies more difficult to sustain. We've lost a little bit of that sell, sell, sell mentality among the funds as they're seeing some reinflation problems. We're seeing increased geopolitical risks. We're seeing the time of the calendar when weather risks tend to increase in major producing parts of the world, that we still lack that buy mentality that would sustain a rally.
Let's talk on the outside markets. I know we've had some comments from Fed members here this week that maybe rate cuts may not be needed. We have non-farm payroll jobs numbers out as well, a bit higher than February. I look at gold soaring again to new highs, wondering, are we maybe hedging against some inflation in the gold trade right now? What are your thoughts on some of this outside market news this week, Arlen?
Yeah, I've been saying for months that if the economy is resilient, there's no need for the Fed to lower rates. And it was really a shock in the last meeting when they seemed to be holding to that, cut the rates three times. So if you really look at that data, the median did not go up, but the average of the dot plot graphic suggested two rate cuts this year instead of three. And I've been saying, I'm not sure we'll get any rate cuts unless they just simply yield to that political pressure. And the March meeting seemed to indicate that. But the jobs report this morning showing we created 303,000 non-farm payroll jobs in March. And we saw the unemployment rate actually tick lower to 3.8%. That shows a strong jobs market that goes on top of some manufacturing data that we got over the past week showing some resilience and some expansion in that area for the first time in quite some time. And so that doesn't portray a need to cut rates. And so we saw Treasury yields pop higher this morning and money coming back into the commodity sector, because historically we see that fund managers prefer to be long the commodities rather than short commodities in times of reinflation.
Real quick, livestock trade. Here we go. Another day. Cattle moving lower. Hogs, the opposite. Some real good strength, especially in summer month contracts. Any notes in the proteins today?
Yeah, as you look at that hog market, the demand has been outperforming expectations really for much of the last 6 months, and that continues to be the case. And especially as we see some erosion at the beef level at current prices. But speaking of that supply, we broke down on the charts, and that's really given us some weaker cash trade this week, generally $2 to $3 weaker. And then also when we look at the product market, anytime we run short, we're surging imports coming in. And then when you add to that carcass weights now, new record highs, and all of it simply doesn't weigh toward extending any rally in the cattle market right now.
And once again, great thoughts with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us on Midday Friday, gave us his thoughts in that market trade. And again, the cattle futures did fall apart on the day on Friday after I talked to Arlen. So that's going to be a real big topic of discussion here coming up with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading in just a little bit. Also, the outside markets, very interesting stuff going on here in these outside markets, and wondering, you know, with gold moving higher, is that a hedge against inflation or reinflation? What about some of those Fed cuts maybe not happening? There's a lot going on in these outside markets that are having an influence on the grains and commodities and livestock. We're going to talk about all that coming up later in the show. On the way next, though, we're going to get some perspective on the livestock markets here this week. I talked with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services on Wednesday's episode of Agriculture of America, AOA, and it was a really great discussion. We're going to listen back to that conversation coming up next, as we'll be back with more here on Market Talk on the way right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Well, on this past Wednesday's episode of Agriculture of America, I had a great conversation about the livestock markets and some of the volatility we've been seeing tied to the bird flu outbreak in dairy cattle. I talked with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services, located in Chicago, and got some great insight from Dennis, really just looking at some of the back and forth we've watched with volatility in cattle. We talked a little bit about the hog market as well. Feed needs overall, got some great perspective from Dennis. So let's listen back to that conversation from this past Wednesday's episode of AOA with Dennis Smith here on Market Talk. Well, Dennis, let's start with the cattle market. I feel like that's where a lot of news has been this week. I know this HPAI and dairy cattle having a pretty big psychological effect, it seems, in this market. And here we are Wednesday with both fats and feeders moving a bit lower again after correcting some on Tuesday. So it's kind of this back and forth battle in this cattle market right now. What's your perspective on things, Dennis?
Yeah, it's a market that's I don't even know how to describe it. It's not trading reality. It's trading uncertainty, and the market seems totally convinced that of a major demand scare, which I think is extremely unlikely to develop or to happen. But the market is doing what it's doing, and it's not over yet. The problem is the migration season is really just getting started. From what I understand, it really won't be completed until middle to late May. So cases of this bird flu are going to continue to pop up here and there in poultry flocks, maybe some more in the dairy herd. But there's absolutely no evidence that this will contribute or lead to a major consumer backlash on beef demand.
Well, and to that point, you mentioned kind of the thought there that these cattle markets aren't trading in reality. There's a pretty wide disconnect between the cash markets and the futures as well here with all of this back and forth going on with bird flu and dairy cattle, Dennis, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. We are right at the start of a seasonal demand season. The next 60 days is the absolute best demand time frame that there is in the entire year for beef demand. Packers would love to break the cash market $10, and they can't get it done. They can't even break the cash market slightly lower, at least not so far. So the fundamentals remain overwhelmingly bullish from a supply standpoint, and the exception to that is the heavyweight cattle situation. That will not be resolved anytime soon. So the battle is on between uncertainty and demand fears versus a tight supply situation.
What about from a feed perspective here? I mean, we've seen corn and soybean prices too. Wheat prices have all kind of drifted back lower to where we were really before the USDA reports last Thursday. Any thoughts from you from a feed need perspective here as we work into the early part of April?
Yeah, well, my outlook is a bearish outlook as far as for corn prices. I'll just kind of specifically address the corn market, and my outlook is a negative one. I think the acreage number from last Thursday will increase as we get into the planting season. Widespread and highly beneficial rains are occurring in the Corn Belt, and they're in the forecast. So I think the crop or soil conditions are going to be in vastly improved shape for spring planting, and I am negative corn prices moving forward.
I made this comment to someone yesterday, and I love your perspective on this, thinking about that 90 million acreage number in corn that USDA gave us. It almost feels like the trade, this corn market, is already dismissing that number and thinks that, like you think and like I think, that acreage number is going to end up going higher. It already kind of feels like the trade is acting that way, Dennis.
Yeah, the nice rally that occurred on Thursday was impressive, but it had absolutely no upside follow through. So you certainly do get that perception or feeling that the trade has sort of factored in that number and sort of put it aside right now, with everyone thinking most likely larger acreage will will develop.
We're talking with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services here on AOA. Dennis, I'd love some thoughts from you in this hog market. That has been a different animal here. We're seeing the hog market moving back higher on Wednesday. We got a quarterly hogs and pigs report last Thursday that was fairly neutral, I would say. Your thoughts with this hog market? Are we running out of steam here, getting up above 100 in some of these summer contracts here, or what's your thoughts in hogs right now?
Yeah, absolutely not. I think this market is really stretching its legs, and it's got more to go. The cash hog market has been up 88% since January 1st. Wholesale pork values are substantially higher than a year ago. Exports are increasing, and it has nothing to do with China. It has everything to do with Mexico. We continue to ship more and more pork this year than we did last year in impressive fashion. Weights are current. The producers are current. That is, weights are about even with a year ago. And, of course, hog weights start trending lower about this time of the year. The demand for pork has improved. It's shifted. Some say that's because the demand for beef is going down and the demand for pork is rising. Well, I'm not so sure that's the case because I'm not convinced beef demand is going down. But anyway, pork cutout peaked out at 114 last year. I suspect the pork cutout is headed toward 120 this year. So there's a lot of room yet to go.
It feels like I like the term. We're kind of getting into that BLT seasonal, so to speak, Dennis. That time of the summer here where that pork demand is really good. And, you know, looking at some of these contracts, and to your point here, it feels like that this is a good spot for producers, hog producers, to really look at their marketing, but maybe even, you know, kind of keep that top side open, so to speak, as they're looking at their marketing plan here, Dennis.
Yeah, well, looking longer term, they want to be really sharp here, especially for the winter contracts next winter as this market moves higher in the summer. And the reason for that is if we change administrations in November to the Trump administration, you could very easily be looking at some renewed tariffs or renewed trade wars. And the pork market has a lot to lose if we get into a trade dispute with Mexico.
Very, very true. Very true. Dennis, we got a couple more minutes here before we run out of time in this segment. Any thoughts from you? Any other thoughts in the grain markets, whether it's soybeans or wheat? Or I know this energy market has been on a tear. Gold has been on a tear. Stocks, of course, have been moving higher for the most part here recently. Any other big notes for you that you want folks out there in rural America to think about watching these markets right now?
Well, you pointed on some interesting topics, and we are always focused on China and the Chinese economy. Is it bottoming out? Is it improving? We know for sure that they've been liquidating their hog herd. So you've liquidated the European hog herd. We are liquidating the U.S. hog herd. They are liquidating the Chinese hog herd. But will China have to come back and buy U.S. pork anytime soon? Well, not soon, but maybe in the second half of the year. But you look at crude oil, you look at copper, gold and silver, these markets are all anticipating improving and strengthening global economic activity. And I wonder if that's what we should be thinking about as well. So those are all interesting things, and they're all bullish toward meat demand.
It almost feels like they're kind of acting, maybe some of those outside markets, as a little bit of a hedge against inflation, but a little bit of optimism to your point as well, that maybe things can improve here globally as we go through the year, Dennis.
You bet. So that would be very positive, especially if, you know, the dreaded recession in the U.S., which never came to pass, if we can honestly feel like we've avoided that completely, that would be a positive.
And once again, that was my conversation from this past Wednesday's episode of Agriculture of America, AOA, with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services, located in Chicago. Great insight from Dennis. Really appreciate his time. You can find more about them online, archerfinancials.com. All right, coming up next here on Market Talk, we are going to take a look at Friday's market action. How did we round out what has been a pretty volatile week to start off the month of April? Tommy Grisafi with Advanced Trading and ATI Pro Media is going to join us and provide his perspective. On the way next, we'll be back with more on Market Talk right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, on Friday, as we wrapped up the week of trade, the cattle market collapsed again late in the session Friday, while gold continues to soar higher. Wheat had a nice little rally as well to end the week. We got plenty to take a look at, and joining us now to give us perspective on the market action, Tommy Grisafi with Advanced Trading and ATI Pro Media is with us here on the show. And Tommy, welcome back to Market Talk. Man, oh man, no shortage of things to look at on a Friday, with cattle just completely falling apart again and gold continues to be hot. There's a lot going on here, Tommy.
Yeah, one more thing to add to that, Jesse. Incredible volatility in the stock market. The Dow was down 550 yesterday. I think it's up about 350 upon the recording of this. Who knows if it'll even close up on day. People will probably be watching this laughing at us going, they said the Dow was up 350. I will tell you this, the gold popping, I have no clue what that means. It's not usually a good sign for something. You know, it's a safety measure. People are running to gold. They ran to Bitcoin a few weeks ago. The cattle market, lions and tigers. Oh my, I thought we overcovered the cattle market. Yourself, me, mm-hmm. others. Maybe we didn't cover it enough. What do you think, Jess?
I think this all speaks to the psychological nature of how the trade works these days and computer algorithms and things like that. I mean, I'm sure this cattle market reading some headlines and that's part of the reasoning of the sell-off here on Friday afternoon. But, you know, there's a big disconnect between the cash markets right now and the futures, Tommy. I think that overall it's just, this cattle market is a case of the psychological worries and consumer demand worries kind of taking hold. Do you think that's the case as well?
Yeah. I had a friend call me this morning, and he said that he had heard rumors that our government could step in and maybe stop exporting just for a few weeks, or you know how it starts, right? 4 years ago, we stayed home for a few weeks and ended up being 4 years. But when you hear stopping beef exports, rumor, again, 100% rumor. But he said, look for the headline that we're not going to stop exporting beef, and then maybe we'd go back up. I said, well, if that headline doesn't come out, there's going to be a lot of nervousness going into the weekend. And so my fear, Mr. Jesse Allen, is that over Friday after the close, which has just happened, or Saturday or Sunday, we get some headline saying, you know, we're slowing things down. Over the last few weeks, you and I had to become expert on bridges, now birds, now this, now that, gold. I mean, truthfully, we're not experts on any of this. We're just covering it. But this week, you were on with me on ATI Pro Media. I had Tyne on, and it was interesting the people that she had talked to. I'm going to talk to Don Wick tomorrow. We'll release that Saturday. But Brady Huck and I went live after the close on Monday when cattle were limit down. Even everyone, there was people on the internet saying cattle didn't trade limit down. Listen, folks, I don't see it at the exchanges. I can tell you cattle traded limit down. I bought them down there. They didn't close limit down, but they touched there. These are extremely volatile markets, and the risk needs to be managed, Jesse.
So talk to me about that risk management. You have been in this business for a while. You have seen all this volatility. You know how this works. Give our farmers and ranchers some thoughts from your perspective, Tommy, on how we have to be smart marketers and manage our risk right now. Because I think that is probably one of the best messages we could send out there to round out a week, Tommy.
Yeah, well, let's go grains first. You see overnight, grains are up good, corn's up, wheat's up, beans up, feels good. And then all of a sudden you get a close, probably corn's going to close lower, wheat's hanging in there, beans doing okay. But we have too much grain. We know that. Now move it to the cattle side. The fundamentals are extremely bullish, but don't go broke, folks, because you don't want to be the guy who said, I really lost a lot of money in 2024 because the fundamentals were bullish, but there was a black swan event. And so you hear this word black swan come out a lot. But it's a changed world. It's a total changed world. So we have tools to manage the risk. And when it comes to cattle, we're very much referring to my coworker and co-host at ATI Pro Media, Brady Huck. He's in Dodge City, Kansas. He's also a broker, but he sells LRP insurance. So Tony Dunker and Brady Huck from Advanced Trading are registered LRP agents, and they are layering these cattle guys with put options and LRP. Making sure that they have these floors locked in. Because the cattle guy, Jesse, he knows the fundamentals are bullish, so he wants all the upside in the world, right? And where we have a different set of scenario here in the grains, we don't have a massive bullish story in grains. It could develop, but today we don't have it. So how you defend against grains is different than how you defend against cattle and hogs. On a positive note, we made some really nice highs in June hogs this week, and that needs to be rewarded. So there's still time for the hog producers to reward that. You know, Jesse, I don't know how many people are out here watching your show, my show, any show that are real hog producers anymore. Maybe yeah. If we say there's no real hog producers out there, it's all big corporate. Maybe you'll get 10 messages saying that's BS. I'm a hog producer and I watch Jesse Allen's show. But when I think of the hog market, I think a big, big, big business. We have a company here by me in DeMont, Indiana named Belstra Milling. They feed hundreds of thousands of hogs. And I have a few friends in Central Illinois who are independent folks who raise hogs, and they're still in the pork business. But it's becoming, how would you describe how it's changed just in your years in this business?
I would say it's very consolidated is maybe the tame term to say that, Tommy. A lot of that vertical integration, so to speak. But to your point, you know, getting close to 110 summer hogs, that's got to be defended, I think. I would agree with you on that, Tommy. For any of those folks out there that are independent hog producers, that's such a ripe level to at least, you know, defend it, hedge against it, whatever the case is, Tommy.
Yes, and I hope if you're out there and you're an independent hog producer, I want you to come on Market Talk or ATI Pro Media and say this is the deal in the hog business. Ask me that question one more time, because I had looked down at my phone. There's something big going on. I looked down at my phone. Ask me that question one more time, sir.
I just said it makes sense that with summer hogs pushing 110, that just feels like that is a ripe level to protect yourself, lock a floor, and do some hedging, whatever the case is in hogs there, Tommy.
I can answer that question. The answer is yes, Mr. Jesse Allen. Yes. Yes. Do something, folks. And corn, bean, and wheat, folks, take a lesson. I know corn, beans, and wheat are low, but weird things can happen. Now, sometimes weird's bullish, like Russia invading Ukraine, but that event's not going to happen again. So I don't know what the next event is to get grains going up, but hog producers, you still have a what should be a good profit there. Take note of that. Yes, sir, Mr. Jesse Allen, protect those hogs. And it is not too late to protect cattle. Mm-hmm. This is really important. I think we have a few more weekends till the rules or laws change. And I do not sell LRP, so do not quote me on this. Call a registered agent. If news comes out after the close today, I believe you still have till 8:30 tomorrow morning to write a policy. That is going to change, especially on days of reports, okay? Because we were having the cattle and feed and, we're having the reports come out on Friday, and then you can still buy LRP insurance. There's going to be a rule change to that. But today, this weekend, like we're selling some infomercial, watch the news overnight. Make sure nothing crazy happens. All right, back to you.
All right, one more thing for you, Tommy, here today. Again, I'll call it a mixed day in grains. And, of course, we touched on the livestock here. We mentioned gold a little bit at the top and wondering what's going on there, but this overall economic environment, there's been some chatter this week from some Fed members that, well, maybe we don't see that many rate cuts this year. I guess give me your 2 minutes on where things stand with this overall economy right now, Tom.
I only have 2 minutes. All right. I will get it in there in 2 minutes. Timer is running.
You have a little more than that, but go ahead.
It's 8:50 on our recording. I will get it in there. We had non-farm payrolls today. The number came out hot. Hot meaning America created more jobs. It's good for America. If you love America, you want people working. The more people that are working, we get something that's called wage inflation. And so wage inflation is not calming down. Go to any restaurant in where you live in Nashville, get bad service, right? Hey, I ordered something. I ordered a Diet Coke, took her 12 minutes to come back. It's not the problem with the server. It's that there's not enough labor to do all the jobs. A lot of people are working in America. You'll hear all the naysayers say, oh, America, you know, we're going to have a stock market crash. Folks, Dow just hit 40,000 the other day. It's real close. Like the stock market's not crashing. You don't create 300,000 jobs a month and run around and say the economy's bad. We have inflation. People like you and I, you living in Nashville, I promise you, if you fill up your car, buy food, go buy new guitar strings, I bet you something as silly as that's went up, right? Mm-hmm. In the music industry, go buy some hair gel, something. I bought razors the other day at Costco. I about fell over. It was $45 for this giant pack of razors. I mean, it's $50 for razors. Everything costs more. You gave up on the razors. Look at you said, I'm going to save money. I'm not going to shave. I'm being serious. The average American's paying a lot more for stuff, Jesse. With that, we're going to be okay because we're working. And so interest rates, when that number came out, interest rates exploded higher, meaning that the bond market collapsed at the Board of Trade. Bonds down mean the interest rates are going back up. That puts the Fed in a corner. And we have an election here in a few months. And you would think, well, a lot of times elections are won on the economy. If the economy is at all-time highs, that could be enough to get President Biden in. You're going to have former president and running for President Trump say the economy is collapsing. It's going to look silly because it's not really collapsing. A bridge collapse, that's real, but the economy is not collapsing. So with that, we still have inflation. The target rate is 2%. You're going to hear the Fed say we want to get down to 2%. Real quick, another 10 seconds. You see Fed chatter in between the meetings, and some of the Fed governors came out today and said, maybe we don't need to get to 2%. Maybe 3 is the new 2. Okay, something like that. So you see chatter like that. Back to you, sir. I got it all in 2 minutes.
You did a great job, Tommy. I know as well, folks can find you guys live at 9 every morning on the ATI Pro Media YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, Advanced Trading YouTube, and then you go into the live part, you'll see ATI Pro Media, and then if they are interested in premium content, like seeing people like yourself, www.atipromedia.com. $1 a day, they get premium content. But I got to tell you, Jesse, you're putting some of the best content out there.
Well, thank you, and it's thanks to folks like you. Tommy Grisafi with Advanced Trading, ATI Pro Media. Tommy, thanks for joining us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
And once again, Tommy Grisafi there with Advanced Trading and ATI Pro Media. Again, find them advanced-trading.com or find them on YouTube under the Advanced Trading channel and ATI Pro Media. All right, we'll wrap up the show. We'll take a look at news headlines on the way next here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at markettalkag.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks again to Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading and ATI Pro Media for joining us here today on the show with his thoughts as we wrapped up the week of trade. Also, it was good to listen back to the comments from Dennis Smith of Archer Financial Services from Wednesday's episode of Agriculture of America, really looking at that livestock sector. So good to listen to those thoughts as well. Let's take a look at news headlines before we run out of time here on today's program. Well, the ethanol industry says the Biden administration's push for an all-electric vehicle fleet is on a collision course with reality. The Renewable Fuels Association says at some point, tax policies, infrastructure shortcomings, and tough new auto emission standards to force a switch to all EVs will hit a roadblock. Troy Breedenkamp is with the Renewable Fuels Association.
The infrastructure is not there, and the consumers. There's been a definite pullback from a consumer perspective on the purchasing of electric, especially all battery electric vehicles.
Recent media coverage cites reports by automakers and retailers of slowing EV sales and a very limited number of new charging stations built, with just 7 in the last 2 years, a tiny fraction of the 2030 goal of 500,000. Breedenkamp argues the best solution is to combine technologies and for the administration to let America's farmers help power the future.
I think at some point they're going to have a realization that the sweet point here is a plug-in hybrid concept. And that's where we want to make sure that those plug-in hybrids turn into flex-fuel vehicle plug-in hybrids, because we think that would be the best of both worlds.
But Breedenkamp says environmentalists want a total end to fossil fuels, even if no tailpipe vehicles have upstream emissions from electric generation. The danger, of course, is regulatory whiplash if there's a change in administrations next year.
If it is the Trump administration moving forward, they're going to be pulling back quite aggressively on what the Biden administration has put forward,
starting with tailpipe emissions and other all-electric vehicle incentives. Well, growers need reliable access to essential farming tools. National Corn Growers Association President Harold Woolley warned the U.S. International Trade Commission of the consequences for America's farmers if the agency grants petition for levying tariffs on imported 2,4-D, a herbicide that's been on the market for decades. Woolley says, quote, "This scenario under consideration has the potential to limit imports of an important product, raise its price, and create a supply shortage, all while raising the cost of production in an already tight market. Farmers are price takers, not makers in selling commodities, and closely managing production costs is crucial to success. Thus, tariffs on these products would create an even more difficult economic scenario for me, my family, and the farmers I represent," end quote. Woolley's testimony comes after Corteva filed anti-dumping and countervailing duty petitions with the ITC on March 14th over India and China's trade practices involving the herbicide. Well, the U.S. quota for low-tariff beef imports in Japan was filled by the end of February. Nikkei Asia says that's the fastest rate since 2020, and that's not good news for Japan either. The rest of the year, beef imports are subject to higher tariffs, which means Japan will face challenges to increasing exports of its premium Wagyu beef supplies. The import quota resets yearly on January 1. The import quota has already reached the 65,000 5-ton limit and closed on February 27th. Brazil also shipped beef to the U.S. ahead of the new year. Because of soaring inflation, Brazil aggressively marketed its lower-cost beef. That means Japan and Brazil appear to have used up their tariff quota in the first 2 months of the year, which is 2 months sooner than in 2023. The shared quota has no country or region-specific caps and is effectively a first-come, first-served system, creating intense competition. Well, the Ohio Department of Agriculture received confirmation that highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in an Ohio dairy herd. The state's Department of Agriculture says it's the first case of HPAI in an Ohio livestock operation. The dairy operation received cows from a Texas dairy on March 8th, which was the same dairy that later reported a confirmed HPAI detection in Texas. Ohio's animal health officials were notified when the livestock began showing clinical signs compatible with sick lactating dairy cows in other states. The USDA Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control, and state veterinary health officials are investigating the emerging illness among dairy cattle that's causing decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. The FDA and CDC say there is no concern about the safety of commercially pasteurized dairy products due to federal health requirements and pasteurization. They also say there are no concerns about the meat supply as well. The public health risk associated with HPAI also remains low. Well, as input prices go up and commodity prices go down, farmers rely on the reference prices in the Farm Safety Net to help stay in business when margins get squeezed. Betty Resnick, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, explains the basics of reference prices.
Reference prices play an essential role in the ARC and PLC programs, which along with crop insurance and other programs make up the Farm Safety Net. The safety net's goal is to keep farms in business during periods of low farm income, as our farmers play such an important role in both our country and the world's food security.
She talks about why reference prices need to be updated in the next farm bill.
So statutory reference prices have not been updated since the 2014 Farm Bill, which was over a decade ago. The world has changed a lot since then. We've had a global pandemic. We've had record fertilizer prices. We've had massive supply chain issues due to global conflicts and other factors, and some of the worst inflation we've seen in many people's lifetimes. The cost of production of agriculture has also steeply increased with these changes. For some of the crops in the program, costs have increased upwards of 40% or more since introduction. And that's after prices have kind of settled back down over the past few years.
And there are several ways to raise reference prices, but American Farm Bureau Federation hasn't advocated for one specific fix.
We at the American Farm Bureau are advocating for an increase in reference prices for all crops, but leave the specifics of that to our legislators on Capitol Hill. But we do need a farm bill, and we are eagerly awaiting their plans.
And once again, that is Betty Resnick with the American Farm Bureau Federation. And also, retailers tracked by DTN for the fourth week of March show all eight major fertilizer prices are higher compared to last month. This marks the second time all fertilizer has been higher this winter and early spring. Urea, 8% more expensive compared to last month, had an average price of $576 a ton. UAN 28, 5% higher in price, looking back a month, had an average price of $360 a ton. The remaining six fertilizers were slightly more expensive compared to last month. DAP had an average price of $779 a ton. MAP at $827 a ton. Potash, $513 a ton. 1034-O, $632 a ton. Anhydrous, $794 a ton. And UAN 32 at $404 a ton. Well, that is going to do it for Market Talk here today. We are out of time on the program. Thank you again for joining us. Coming up on our next episode, we'll talk markets with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing. We'll also look at weather with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to Market Talk.